Beloved, as you have just sang Psalm 30, verse 5 with me, please now turn in your Bibles to Psalm 30, verse 5. We will be thinking about the second part of that verse, but I would like to read verses 5 through 11 for a little bit of context. Psalm 30, we'll read verses 5 through 11. The theme verse of the text is the second part of Psalm 30, verse 5. I've been thinking about this verse all week. I've been thinking about it in Boston last week. And as it turns out, last night, Elder Maxwell sent a message to myself and Elder Renner. He quoted this very verse as we are looking forward to the wedding this Friday. And Elder Renner mentioned to us when we were praying for the service, this week, he and his lovely wife were reading this verse for devotions. So God has a word for us today, beloved. But we'll read verses 5 through 11. Hear now the word of God. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood? When I go down to the pit, shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Hear, O Lord, verse 11. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. Let me read verse 11 again. You see, between verses 5 and 11, there's this sense of experiencing a distance from God or difficult providences from God. So the psalmist cries out to God, and God hears, God answers, and he provides. And the result is, verse 11, thou hast turned my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. So mourning in verse 11, mourning. My crying, my sadness. Back in verse 5, joy cometh in the morning, moring. Our sadness turns from mourning into gladness in the morning. A little bit of a play on words there, if you will allow. Let me read verse 5 again. The last part is the focus of our sermon this morning. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. The context is weeping. It may come. There will be weeping, and isn't it often at night? But joy cometh in the morning. This verse has gotten me through many nights this last year and a half, as I know it has for you. Joy cometh in the morning. But especially now, verse 11 with verse 5, joy cometh in the morning. And that is the message for you. Joy cometh in the morning. I have a testimony to give to you, beloved. Whatever you might be facing right now, I can testify for you. You have seen my mourning, mourning, and it's turned to dancing, beloved. And I can testify yours will too. And every time you face darkness and difficulty, I can testify what you know, but you need to hear again. Sometimes you have to wait a long time, but joy will come in the morning. You say to yourselves, you trust it to be true, joy cometh in the morning. I am weeping right now, O Lord, but I cry out to you, and I trust that joy cometh in the morning. A few weeks ago, Abraham got to go to his first sleepover with a young man from our basketball class. His father is the main coach. it worked out nice that they didn't get the message that the wedding was postponed, so they showed up here for the wedding Friday night. And he called, which was great. I said, well, come on over. Fernanda's here. Come meet her. We're going to have a meal. And they came over, and we had lovely fellowship, and it was great. The boys were boys, and we had to yell at them regularly to calm down in the house. You know, that was great. And but this young man is one of Abraham's great friends, and he was so excited when he knew that he would be going to this, his first sleepover. He talked about it for weeks. He unusually had his bag packed weeks ahead. You know, everything was ready. And he kept thinking, Dad, I need to practice making popcorn because we're going to make popcorn on this stuff. Okay, son, we'll practice. He was so happy. He was so happy. And yet, when he came home that day from the sleepover that next day, I brought him home. And then I had to go to a session meeting with the elders. And I learned I couldn't be there. And this is why we need a mother to be there. I learned from the girls that while he was at the dinner table having such a good time, that sleepover, he started weeping at the table. He started crying very heavily. The reason was he had observed the mother in that home. And he's been waiting. And he's been disappointed before when we thought we found her. And there was no hope at that moment. And he saw what it is to have a mother in the home. It has been a year and a half, more than that in terms of what Jennifer could do for him because of her sickness. And seeing that mother in the home, as happy as he was to be there, caused him great sorrow and heavy, heavy crying. And it lasted a few days when we would hear a song that reminded him of mother. It would make him cry very deeply. That was a month or so ago. This week, I brought Fernanda here at night after we bought rings. And as you know, there's not a whole lot of surprises for her the way this is going. But I was able to surprise her. I gave her a tour of the campus, and I sat her down here. I had her stand behind the pulpit, and I thanked her for coming to help me with my family and to help me serve this church family. I told her how incredibly important she is to this ministry. And we sat down on the bench here behind the pulpit, and I tricked her. I got on my knees. I had to reach something from the pulpit. I found something to tidy up, you know. And I turned around with the ring in my pocket, and thankfully I surprised her at least then, and I proposed. And as we had practiced, she said yes, thankfully. And so I call the girls. I say, we're now officially engaged. Soon you will have a mother. And they told me later, Abraham, when he got that news in my absence, was laughing so loud, so happy. And then he began to weep very deeply for a long time. They were happy tears. Finally, God has provided me a mother. I emphasize this partly because you cannot emphasize enough the value of a wife and a mother. And he wept happy tears. You see, his joy was turned into, his sadness was turned into rejoicing. Because he was so relieved and so happy after so much sadness for so long and so much disappointment when we thought we had found her several times. Rachel was similar. A few months ago, she got to attend, she got to go to her friend's house for dinner, and she observed the mother, a lovely mother, the lady that was holding Isaac here during our movie night a little while ago, and we even wept then, partly because of that movie over the loss of Jennifer. And she had such a heart for Isaac and held him, and I'm watching saying, please, God, please, please one day provide him a mother. The right mother. We'll wait for the right one, but we will. Well, Rachel was at her house. She's a very, very good and godly woman. And she watched her be mom and wife in the home. And she came home and she said, "Dad, I was in awe as I watched her. I realized I forgot what it's like to have a mother. I forgot what we're missing. We've been doing it so long on our own." And it was melancholy for us at that time. But a few nights ago, while I was napping on the couch, while Fernanda is transforming her house, though I try to get her to stop and rest, and I'm having a nap I haven't had in a long time. Finally, real rest, real relaxation, because I know Mama is here. And nothing is the same. And Rachel runs in to say, "Dad, you will not believe how the kitchen looks." By the way, Elder Renner, you've met your match. And, "Dad, the refrigerator and the cooking, wow." She says, "We will have to learn how it is to have a mother's touch in the home." I said, "I know, honey." And you should have seen her face. Her eyes were shining. Her face was glowing. It was like, finally, finally we have found her. We can trust her. And I can't even tell her what to do. She's just working out of me. Rachel's mourning has been turned to rejoicing. Isaac is not the same kid. By the way, my boys are competing for me. I'm reminding them, she's my girlfriend. Isaac literally sometimes is pushing me away physically. Abraham and Isaac are fighting for a spot next to Maya. And of course, I'm very happy for that. In fact, when we were in Boston, I've teased you, when we get on the video call at the airport, she's afraid to meet me. She says, "I need Rachel to hold my hand." I said, "I'm going to hold your hand. I'm right here. You know, come on." And when we're in the parking garage getting the rental car, we call the children late at night with the phone and we're talking and, "Look, we're here." And she's kind of happy to meet me. But when the kids get on the phone, "Oh, Rachel, I'm right here. Hello." You know, but of course, this is what I've been looking for. This is what we've been looking for. So our joy, there has to be a woman like this that will want the children. Isaac's not the same. He's like a different person. He's living up to his name, which means laughter. But his laughter is back in a way that I don't remember yet. He isn't asking anymore, "I wish mommy was here to tuck me into bed tonight while we're driving." He's pried onto mommy now, and I can't get him off to let me get a hug. She's already singing these beautiful Brazilian songs, such as Psalm 103 last night, while they waited in the van as we were doing more last-minute shopping for the wedding. You should see my boys. They're like different people. I've never seen them so happy. I've never seen them so well-behaved. They're trying to impress her. But of course, you see, it's changing. I was lying down with Isaac to give him a nap. I lie with him, and it helps him fall asleep faster. But also, he's my excuse to take a nap. And I say to him, "Isaac, are you happy?" He says, "I am very happy." And he knew why I was asking. As Fernanda has said, she is muito, muito feliz. Forgive me, I'm probably still learning how to say it right. She's a very good professora. Although while we were walking in Boston and I was trying to impress her with romantic things, I somehow called myself a woman. I don't know how I did that. But I share it for your laughter. But we're all saying muito, muito feliz. Very happy. Olivia, she's twirling in a whole new way. When Olivia is happy, when she really, you know, she's a little slower than me and Rachel. We're, you know, full Brazilian. Fernanda keeps saying, "You are Brazilian. You are not American." We, you know, talk with our hands and we're very expressive. I say, "I know." And I've said to her, "And you are Puritan." No doubt about it. But Olivia, when she's a little slower to do this, but when she's really happy, I know, because she does a ballerina twirl, she can't help herself. And she's been doing a lot of that. And when we were at Seaport Village, she was like, you know, she's a giddy girl again, and she's dancing together. And that's our verse 11. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. Olivia gets to be a giddy little girl again. She's not yet a teenager, but she's been helping her sister for 2 years be mom. And it's been a heavy burden. And they've been doing amazing, as you know. It's time for her to be a giddy girl, and it's happening before my eyes, and I rejoice. Irma said to me, Mrs. Maxwell said to me the other night, she saw us and said, Pastor, let me look at your face. Let me see your face. She says, I can see. You're happy and shining again. I told Fernanda when I was in Boston, I said, they already see you're the one, Fernanda. They see it in my eyes. Mrs. Raglan on a Wednesday night, she is crying, but they're happy tears this time. She's cried a lot of sorrow with us. They're happy tears because she can see Fernanda in my eyes. She can see the happiness she brings me. She knows. We know. You see, I have felt so dead after losing my better half. Now I feel alive again. And I don't have to try so hard to laugh. I have made sure to find Mary medicine for us, but I have to work hard at it. And I'm glad to find it, but I don't have to try hard now. It's coming very naturally for me again. Over the last year and a half, I have seen documentaries of famous people, and it struck me a number of these men, famous men, presidents of our country, generals of our military, World War II, when they lost their wives, the commentators said how different these men were. And when they found a new wife, that's when they were back. Try as they might, there's something about a wife and a mother that restores a man's joy. And they said the same thing. These men were, they're happy, lighthearted old selves again. That's the way I am. And Fernanda puts it this way, the way I'm acting around her, although she is too. Are you 15 years old? I say, yes, I am. I'm so happy, and I don't care who knows. You know, as I dropped her off last night for the Maxwells, where she's staying before we marry, you know, we had a hard time leaving the car. You know why? We were laughing so much. We were happy. We were just laughing. We just laugh so much together. We have so much happiness and laughter. We have the same sense of humor. She laughs at my dumb jokes, and I don't have to try to impress her. We just click. It is so nice to laugh again and have a wife to laugh with. God has turned my sorrow and mourning into rejoicing. I have been meditating on finding Fernanda. I have been experiencing finding Fernanda. I've been thinking of these verses that describe that as well, and I encourage you to take the medicine today, beloved, that you need. It's interesting, it comes up several times in Proverbs. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. A merry heart hath a continual feast. And again, a merry heart doeth good, like a medicine. Proverbs 15 and 17. Three times, a merry heart is like medicine. It's like eating a good and continual feast. Well, we have been eating many difficult foods to swallow, but we've taken them. And now the Lord is letting us have merry medicine again. Let us take it in. Let us drink it down. Let us prepare for this wedding on Friday and be happy. I imagine we might cry. I've pictured myself crying at such a day. I don't think I will. Yes, there are tears of rejoicing, but I am so happy. I am so giddy. I am a 15-year-old schoolboy that gets to marry the teacher he has a big crush on. I am not going to be crying very likely. I am going to be struggling not to yell, woohoo! You know, praise the Lord. May our hearts be blessed to be merry. Are we not ready for this medicine, beloved? We laugh so hard together. My favorite thing is just like with Jennifer, I love her laugh, especially when Fernanda has this hearty laugh. It's this, you know, turn your head back, deep in the chest, you know, can't stop it for a while laugh that I'll do anything to hear. Last night when we were preparing the fellowship room for the wedding, the dinner after the wedding, I turned on some of the Celtic music that we had for a recent event. I left the CD there, and we broke out into dancing. We joined hands, and we twirled around, and probably didn't look so professional, but we were laughing. We were dancing. We couldn't help ourselves. Later, Fernanda was playing foosball. We have that foosball table in the back with the boys. And so I sat down to send a few text messages I needed to catch up on. And she was concerned, maybe we need to go. She comes over to me the other side of the room and says, is it okay? I'm sorry. I said, Fernanda, of course. If it was a problem, I would let you know. If we have to go, we have to go. We don't have to go. We have time. Thank you for playing with my children. Go back and play some more. And it was fun to watch her go back to the food table. She skipped back. Oh, boy. You know, like, she's so happy to have this family. She's so happy to have these children. She's so happy to play with them. She's like a 15-year-old, maybe 16-year-old girl as well. So, we were buying some things at the store yesterday, Home Depot, Fernanda and I. And I decided to get her what she grew up with every day, because we're going to need a lot of these based on what she cooks, which is great, avocados. So we bought a few avocado trees for the backyard and some bougainvillea, as it turned out. I've been waiting for the wife to try not to do too much. I want to give the woman the opportunity to make it her own. It turns out we like the same things. Mismo. Estamos mismo. And so we get them. And as we're talking about these avocado trees, she grew up getting avocados out of her backyard. And so, God helping us, we will. And bougainvillea everywhere along the fences. I've always wanted to do that. And as we're talking about it, she just starts, oh, you're a perfect husband for me. She's like a little girl. I said, don't ever, ever stop acting like this. It gives me such happiness. Such is the kingdom of heaven. Yes, like a child. The Lord is restoring our happiness that we can't help but jump up and down as little kids. God is redeeming our sorrowful losses. She has had her sorrowful losses. I'll mention in a moment. Some of you know. He is our kinsman redeemer. She keeps saying to me through the whole process, you make me happy. But particularly she says, you make me smile. And I say the same to her. I haven't had a lot of smiles for a while. I try. Now I can't help myself. And why would I try? And we already have our song. I was waiting for her packing to come back to you. I was buying some CDs and music. I never had time to. I'm catching up on gift cards. And one of the CDs I've been meaning to buy for years, but I don't have time. Nathan Clark George, who, by the way, is the grandson of Gordon Clark. A musician in the PCA. I looked at the CD. I said, oh, this is going to have to be our song. It's called, and he wrote it for his wife, You Make Me Smile. So this is what you'll see on our program, and this is what you'll see and hear us dance to as the first song at the reception. You Make Me Smile, Nathan Clark George. What a redemption of our losses. What a providing and bringing joy where there was darkness and sadness. You Make Me Smile, our song. He says, my cheeks are sore from smiling all day. I can't believe you'd do this to me, but hey, I can take the pain. You make me smile. You cracked me up when you hit the brake and missed the clutch, then grabbed my arm. I love your touch. Did I tell you I've never laughed this much? You make me smile. You make me laugh. You make me want to make this last. You make me hope. You make me dream. You make me feel like I can be me, and you make me smile. Our walk was slow in that midsummer storm. The rain was cold. Why am I so warm? I've been thinking about the day all night. Your voice was music. Your eyes were sweet. I never noticed my feet were killing me. Tonight it feels like a dream. You make me smile. You make me smile. You make me laugh. You make me want to make this last. You make me hope. You make me dream. You make me feel like I can be me. And you make me smile. My voice is shot from talking so long. I've never felt so at ease, so at home. You make me smile. You make me laugh. You make me want to make this last. You make me sing. You make me dance. You make me want to take a chance. You make me playful. You make me comfortable. You make me trust in love again. You make me hope. You make me dream. You make me feel like I can be me, and you make me smile. I think of it this way. Some of those words we've been saying, what reminds me of Psalm 126. Psalm 126, verses 1 to 3, and we'll sing it tonight as we consider these thoughts further. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Again, verse 11, he's girded us with gladness now. But it says we were as men that dreamed. It was so difficult in a foreign land. It was so difficult. But God brought us back to Israel. God restored and redeemed the church by his mercy and grace and power. And it's like we're dreaming. Couldn't have seen it coming. It's been a nightmare. Now it's as if I'm dreaming. And I don't want to wake up. I've said that. We keep saying, pinch me. Am I dreaming? Can I really feel like this? I didn't know if I'd ever feel like this again. I feel like this again. We feel like we're walking on clouds. Isaac talked about that. Oh, let me share another thing, a little Mary Medicine, if you'll pardon a little distraction. When we were driving up to meet Fernanda with the children, we flew in Friday night, Monday night, a week ago tomorrow. Now we're going to get married. The renters picked us up. She stayed with the renters the first night. I went home the next morning, brought the children to the renters, and they first met in the back. And as I'll share more about this later, it was as if it was a reunion, not an introduction. It was beautiful. And on our way up, because in the past, when we have talked about the possibility of daddy expressing affection to a new woman, it caused some of the children to cry very hard. To have to get used to be, it would not be Jennifer. So I thought I should ask before I touch her in front of them. Maybe they spend time first and later on, a few days, a week. I said, children, is it all right with you? Do you feel comfortable if I hold her hand, if we touch in front of you? Or do you think maybe it'd be better for you to do that first and I'll wait? And all the kids are like, are you loco? Yes, of course you can touch her, yes. And then I said, what about you, Isaac? Let me just say this. Isaac has been especially discerning about other women. And he said to me, I think you should kiss her. Okay, green light, you know. And so all this joy and happiness. He said recently, we're walking on clouds, but he said, but there has to be glass so we don't fall down. All this joy to share. But it is hard to believe. So much waiting, so much pain, so much sorrow, so much loss. It's hard to believe. Fernanda and I especially have had to have faith for two things. First, and the children, and you. Particularly, we've had to have faith to be sad. We've had to have faith to suffer. We've had to have faith to bear under God's difficult providences. Now we need faith for something else. We've challenged one another to have courage, to take the gift. We have to have faith to be happy now. God is changing our mourning into dancing. God is taking what was sad and turning it into joy. And we have to have faith to take it. And we have to have faith to be happy. We've gotten so used to being sad. There's a time for that. It's now a time to be happy. But you see, we understand one another. In fact, Fernanda shared with me, I struggled for years like Job. I questioned God. I didn't understand why. You see, at 19 years old, she lost her fiancé to a car accident. She was supposed to marry him and move to Florida from Brazil. And she said, for a long time, I said, I would never step foot in that country. And I understand. It's too painful to step forward in faith for something happy when you had such loss in that same place. She lost her father to a heart attack at 11 years old. She can relate, you see, to me and to the children in our pain and in our sorrow and in our waiting for so long. But now we can relate together in our joy that follows. Abraham and I were waiting on the ladies to shop because we didn't belong where they were shopping. And I'm watching him. I'm seeing this joy. I'm seeing a whole different person. And I say to him, we need to remember this lesson, Abraham. God will sometimes call us to go through very difficult losses. God will sometimes call on us to hurt really bad and to be disappointed for a very long time. But we have to trust him. We must never stop trusting him. And we must trust that there will be better days like this. This is a new lesson we're learning. You see, we have a testimony. I've preached on this text directly or indirectly twice already during the ministry here. The first sermon was, Joy Cometh to the Morning. M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. Those who are mourning, Christ says, will be comforted. There will be comfort after the mourning, the sorrow. The second time I preached using this text, the message was, joy cometh after mourning. There will be joy. I don't know when. I don't know how. There will be. There'll be enough to get through, but there will be a time of rejoicing after the mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-G. We have this testimony in new ways today. We as a family and you as our church family, we have endured, we have borne under for more than a year and a half of great sorrow and terrible suffering because of such a great loss and because of such an empty void. Now, we embrace such happy joy because of new great gain, and that our family is made whole again. We were driving in the van after having breakfast with the renters, driving back down to San Diego after we first picked up Fernanda, and I turned to the children. I wasn't driving. It was before I started to drive. I turned back. I said, children, isn't it lovely to have our van full again? And they said yes. And then they said, there's one seat left. You get their drift. Oh, I said, oh, yes, and now you get it. And then I said, oh, and then we'll get a new, bigger van. Yeah, not one, just one seat. You see, now there's all these things to look forward to in their hope. Because our family has been made whole again in a way only a woman, a wife, and mother can. A woman especially who knows how to love. A woman who knows how to rejoice with us, how to be silly, how to play, how to smile, how to laugh, and in the context, she knows how to suffer. And she's just happy to also be happy. And we are so happy to be happy with her. God has given us an important testimony, beloved, that I want to encourage you to remember will always be your testimony. Here's the testimony that we've had over the last year and a half. And I've had this testimony. I've been thankful for this testimony. I have leveraged this testimony. His grace is sufficient for us. And his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Here is another testimony that we have had. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Here is another testimony we have had. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Here is another testimony that we have had. Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? But beloved, now we are allowed and we are challenged and we are commanded to have another powerful personal testimony together. Here is our testimony now. Shall we receive evil of the hand of God and not good also? Here is our testimony now. The Lord hath taken away, and the Lord gave. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We've been saying that all this week. Pardon me, professora, I'm still trying to remember how to say it in Portuguese. But we've been saying all week, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is our testimony. We praise him in our loss. Now we praise him for our gain. Here is our testimony now. So says the preacher. There is a time to weep and a time to laugh. There is a time to mourn, M-O-U-R-N. But this morning, beloved, there is also a time to dance. Get ready. Put your dancing shoes on. Come with an appetite, body and soul. We are going to have a wedding. We are not getting ready for a funeral this time. I am preparing you now for a wedding on Friday. Shed tears if you must, but may they be tears of joy, beloved. And come ready to dance. Come ready to feast. And then come ready to rejoice. And then get out of my way as I carry my wife to my car for the honeymoon. As I rejoice, come ready to laugh. It's time to dance. It's time to laugh again. Praise the Lord. I share this testimony before you this day. It is a new day for us all. Here is my testimony. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Whatever dark nights that you are facing or that you will face, however long, however lonely is or will be your lament, my testimony to you, beloved, is that your day too will dawn. Your testimony will be joy cometh in the morning. Testify to yourselves each night. Joy cometh in the morning. Testify to God's mercy in the morning. Joy cometh in the morning. and trust that sometimes after a long, dark night of many days, you will be able to say with special praise in a whole new way, this will be your testimony. Joy cometh in the morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we have been mourning. We have been in deep sorrow. We rejoice to know that even Jennifer in heaven is surely informed by Jesus of these things. And I know she gives a big thumb up and a hearty laugh of rejoicing that you have provided someone to take her legacy and care for her children and help me and help this church. We rejoice with her. We rejoice with one another with joy unspeakable. And yet we try to rejoice all the more. Let your light shine upon us with new rejoicing. Let the countenance of the abundant joy and peace come through our faces. Let us have this testimony before the world. God will give us dark days. There will be nights of wrath and pain, but joy cometh in the morning. And in the end, there will be the resurrection from the dead. There will be no more dark graves. Because of your Son, Jesus Christ, who you did not let see corruption, so we, with David and him, will be raised from the dead, reign with him forever in the new heaven and the new earth, where it will be an eternal day. There will be no more moon or stars or sun, because the Lord and the Lamb will be our light. There will be no darkness. There will be no tears. There will be only everlasting rejoicing. Let us have this testimony. We will never cry out in utter darkness, because Christ cried it out for us on the cross. In his resurrection, we are raised. We are raised unto rejoicing. Let us rejoice on this, the Lord's day, that we have this testimony before us. There will be a day that we say, once and for all and forever, joy has come in the morning. We wait for you, Lord Jesus Christ, that bright morning star, that day star that is rising as we speak, as you preach. We pray, Lord, that indeed you would bless and shine your light within us, O light of the world, and let us be a greater light to this world in its darkness. That though we suffer and that we have sorrow, it is not like the world without hope. We have the everlasting hope of the resurrection and the new everlasting life, the family reunion of all those in Christ, new bodies, new souls. So, Lord, as we come to this wedding day on Friday, we thank you for it. We pray you give us just as much faith to rejoice and be happy and laugh and dance as you required of us to be sorrowful and to suffer and to lament. Thank you, Almighty God, for taking our weeping and turning it into joy. Thank you, Almighty God, for taking our mourning and turning it into dancing, for taking our sackcloth off and girding us with gladness. We praise you, and we pray for a glorious witness, especially with those who will visit who may not know you. Let them see what Paul says, the mystery of Christ and his church. As my bride comes to greet and marry me, as we sing the second part of Psalm 45. O Lord God, we thank you for all of these things to rejoice together in now. We praise your holy name. We say, praise the Lord. Thank you, God. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And all your people said, amen. Amen. Before we are dismissed by the Lord with the doxology for worship, we will sing once more. We will sing Psalm 117, page 259. Please stand, page 259. Likewise, ye people, all the poor. As you have come to bless the Lord and rejoice in him, so he sends you away with his blessing to rejoice in his presence and countenance through the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive his blessing. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.